Right, so we have Marwa Al Mansouri. She's one of the first Emirati persons that I'm interviewing. And she's one of the Forbes 30 under 30. And she's one of the 22 people chosen to represent Abu Dhabi's private sector on its Economic Cooperation Committee. She has a very eclectic experience. She's been with the government for its economic growth opportunities. She's the co-founder of United Women's Network, a platform for cross-country partnership. And now she is with a tech company called the Garden of Life Dubai, where she's a CEO. Garden of Life Dubai, or GOLD, where she's a CEO. So Marwa, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Ashraf. I would like, first of all, to thank you for having me in your podcast. And I'm looking forward to share more about myself and my journey. As you know, just introduce myself. My name is Marwa. No titles attached, just a simple name. First of all, I will not define myself as an entrepreneur, just for personal reasons. This word has been used a lot, same as sustainability in 2021.
Okay.
I'm a person who believes that nothing is impossible, and every individual in this world has a responsibility towards themselves and people around them.
Okay. So one of the things which I am fascinated with, Marwa, what you do is you're not just celebrating, like, you know, when it comes to tech and tokens and blockchain, you know, you're not at the byline just celebrating the whole thing. You've been involved in it. And when it comes to the, you know, things like the Abraham Accord, you set something up. So anything like these ideas, you're giving them shape. And what's led you to this journey? And can you just describe, like, where you come from and, like, what's the taking your journey?
Perfect. I'll give you a quick, simple description. So the question you asked about my journey, I have no idea what led me to this journey, to be honest. What I know is the journey that I created, or what came across my path, made me a strong-minded individual who's really not scared to step out of her comfort zone, let's say that. So people, you know, when they step out of their comfort zone, they've got that fear of what's going to happen, you know, it's all about the reactions, either mental reactions or physical reaction towards you. But instead of that, I always put in my mind, when I step out of my comfort zone or everything I fear of, I just step out of it, I get an adrenaline rush. So I was always a kid when I was young who loves to socialize with everyone, even when I was 5 years old. So my parents were very worried about this, but I was a naive one, you know, walking in the gardens and just picking stuff off the floor and just saying, what's this or what's that, you know? I enjoy it. Until this day, I do that, by the way. I'm 29 years old right now, and I still do that. And people who walk with me always like, can you keep your hands to yourself? I'm like, no, I can't. I need to explore.
Okay. So you're very curious. So you wanted to explore. You wanted to, you know, understand the world around you. You just want to. And what you're doing now is, I see, you know, you and your colleagues on social media, your presence. You know, sometimes I find it very intriguing, like, a lot of people on social media, you know, they'll post a range of things, but, you know, the kind of posts that Garden of Life Dubai is doing, you know, you're very on spot. Like, you know, I see your meeting with Nick Zappos, one of the pioneer in Bitcoin. Like, everything is like, you know, you're exploring, you are right out there creating this ecosystem. And, you know, Garden of Life Dubai, especially when I see this, you've created a low entry barrier for people to enter. And of course, which you will speak about, which we'll ask you, and, you know, we can describe more about it. But since how long have you been interested in what you do? And was there a time or event in your life, like, you know, you've just got a spark and I have to create this?
To be honest, Ashraf, I did not even think for a second I would be in the tech world and representing the private sectors in the UAE. But I guess, you know, this is me. This is my journey. And, you know, I believe in something where your journey is what you adapt. So, see, you do not create your life. You just need to adjust.
Okay.
As if you know, Adam Smith, I love this person so much. I studied in Scotland, you know, for 4 years. So I did my undergrad in Edinburgh.
So this quote
really follows me to this day. The first thing you have to know is yourself. A man who knows himself can step outside himself and watch his own reactions like an observer. And this quote really I look up every day too. And, you know, people always are in the picture. You need to step out of the picture and see, okay, if I have my plan, you know, where will it take me? But if I can adjust to different plans, where will it take me?
Yeah. You know, Marwa, one of the things is, you know, like I'm much older than you. And when you reach, like when I crossed my 40s, I realized that, you know, just exactly what you said, that being an outside observer, you know, you just, it just hits you so hard about being an outside observer where, you know, I will, you know, all the things which I've done in the past, you know, and who I am, what I've done in the past. So everything that I do now, I'd like to step out of myself and look at myself in my own reactions as an observer. So yeah, I find this fascinating. So, you know, to have discovered something like this, like earlier on in your life, and you're quoting something which, you know, a lot of people, they experience much, much later in life. So if you found that at this time, or if you've studied this, you know, I mean, it's something which is amazing that, you know, you like sort of figured it out much earlier than most of us did. Now,
of course, and I just, my apologies, I just want to highlight something, Ashraf.
Yeah.
You see, it's not what I studied. What I studied, if I put it right now in my real life, I don't even remember what I studied in university, yeah. But, you know, I always follow this thing is you need to control your reaction no matter what it is. If you're happy, you know, you should control, you have a neutral reaction towards happiness, sadness, towards, you know, claiming something, towards getting something. If I got, for example, in Garden of Life, in tokens, I just reached 30 million tokens sold. You know, it's a neutral reaction. Sometimes some of my colleagues would come and say, you know, why aren't you happy? I'm like, I'm controlling. It's about, I want more. You know, 30 million tokens sold is not, it's nothing to me. I need to reach 111 billion tokens sold for me to be happy.
Yeah.
So it's about the reactions, because your reactions are your limits, if you think about it.
Yeah.
If you're happy, you will stop there. If you're sad, you will stop there.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, this disassociation with feeling, I mean, like you rightly mentioned about having a certain goal. So, you know, your goal is, you know, you've created this goal for yourself, and, you know, which is a certain number. And obviously you're making it easy for people to participate in this by creating this 1 cent. And now I want to speak again about it. It's like, it's fascinating that whenever we speak about blockchain or crypto or NFT, it's always the elite, you know, you have to be either too knowledgeable or, you know, you have to be, have a certain, you know, income level where you want to invest. But what you all have created with gold is anyone can participate. And this participation is important because with like stocks, they teach us in stocks that, you know, you just need to invest even if it's $100 so that you come to know the entire ecosystem, the cycle, the ups and downs, and then you start investing like a full-fledged investor. So, yeah, I mean, you have this goal of, you know, a large goal, and you're not happy when you reach a certain level. And of course, being dissociated with your feelings and just focusing on your goal is something, yeah, which is an amazing thing. Yeah. And now also gold is creating this metaverse. And I want you to describe this metaverse in your own words and how you would like to make an impact on this.
Of course, I just go back to you know, when you said that, you know, crypto is for the high net worth people. In the end of the day, crypto was not made for that.
Exactly.
And this was very clear that was said to me. And I till this day, I take it a statement from my partner, my mentor in that, you know, crypto, you know, let's classify it A, B and C, classification A. You know, who can afford opening a bank account with a minimum requirement of X amount of thousands. Crypto is made for classification B and C. Who wants to get there? You know, right now, when it comes to shares, when it comes to banks, you know, those highlighted words really scare people to step in. You know, when it comes to crypto, I'm trying to change this word and say it's for everyone. Why did I make my token 1 cent per token? I want everyone to afford it. I want everyone to be part of Garden of Life, not only in Dubai and globally that we're having in 5 countries. I want people to be part of the community. You know, a child that's 6 years old or 5 years old or even 2 years old, you know, can afford it. Because that's the main concept behind it. Returning to your question in regards to the metaverse. It's a tricky question, but I'll be very honest with you. So it is the digital world, like where you're sitting right now, where I'm sitting, you know, in the office. But in the metaverse, imagine you can be seated together. It just makes life easier. Trust me, when I just got introduced to the metaverse, and we have one of our partners who's launching the huge metaverse of Dubai, he was talking to me, and I was touching myself, and he was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Am I an avatar right now?" He was like, "No, you're in the real world." So people usually will say, "I don't want to be here. You know, I don't trust the digital world." But guess what? Can you really trust the real world? That's the question. You know, this is the question. Can you really trust the real world?
You know,
the digital world.
Yeah. One of the jokes on LinkedIn, one of the jokes on LinkedIn is like, all the Web3 companies want to be like banks. Yeah. All the Web3 companies want to be like banks, and all the banks want to be like the Web3 companies, which I find really hilarious.
No, it is. It is. Honestly, it is. You know, you've got a lot of financial institutions, you know, here. And see, crypto is for the free-minded. Digital world is for the free-minded. People want to get out of their box. You know, in my previous experience, I mentored about 32 women-led startups. And this is one thing about gold I want to highlight. You know, gold is not a crypto project. It is a global movement we're doing right now. It is the largest educational and innovation park to be a hybrid model that's physically going to be in Dubai.
Yeah,
a whole educational park in Dubai that's basically that the tools we use to crowdfund this project is crypto.
Yeah.
You know, that's the main thing. So I believe in something, right? You will have crypto, right? You will have, you know, real estate development, but we give a balance between both for people who are scared to enter this, putting our hands out there and say, you know, come join us. Where do you want to join, the real estate or do you want to join the crypto? It's all backed up, vice versa, you know. And you see that when I'm telling you about me mentoring about 30 to 35 women-led startups, and we're a woman-led executive team, I just it really hit me that the digital world will help these people, you know, will give them the voice and will give them the voice to remove that fear of being themselves. And it's insane how many women investors that just came and said, you know, we want to be part of this. We want to be part of the metaverse. We want to do workshops. We want to launch our startup in your metaverse. And this is what really is important is, you know, giving them that comfort zone. If I'm personally the person who would push myself out of the comfort zone, not everyone, I can't say that everyone will do that.
Yeah.
You know, some people will need that hand to pull them up. And I'm willing to give two hands, you know, and all my team are willing to give all their hands to pull them up. And that's important. And in regards of facts, you know, don't forget the metaverse will reach to $800 billion, a $800 billion market in 2024. So who wants, you know, let's get into it.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. What you're doing is you are empowering these women. Now, like Web 2.0 had promised to be an equal, like level playing field. Okay. But then it wasn't so. But Web 3, because of its, blockchain ledger kind of an anonymity and decentralization and finance, you know, this promises to be somewhere, you know, where people, like you rightly said, everyone gets a piece of the, you know, piece of the estate. They gets some part of this if they're willing to. And what you are doing is you're making it easy for them in terms of accessibility. Like it's not so, you're like demystifying it. Like it's not so confusing as it seems. And you shouldn't be afraid of it. And, you know, like empowering them to participate in this big opportunity. And what you said about this, I mean, I wasn't aware. So in 2024, it's going to be, $800 billion?
It's $800 billion market.
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy.
It's insane. It's insane. For sure, it's insane. That's why I'm telling people, get out of your comfort zone. You know, come join us. You know, see what's going to happen. And, you know, when I see individuals that would, you know, say, okay, one thing, and I think later on I want to cover that, is, you know, when it comes to our project, how strong this project is, you know, it we highlight something, and that's very important, that people bypass, which is it's from the community to the community.
Yeah.
You know? Where your assets go, where, you know, when we come to the discussion, it's, and I believe in this, is, for example, when we have the real estate industry in Dubai, let's say 20 years ago or 15 years ago, right? And I'll get into more details right now. It was in regards of all the brokers that were here, all of the real estate companies that would promise off-plan projects and receive funds and just, you know, leave the country and just, you know, steal the funds and go out. And this is what's happening right now in the crypto world. Yeah. But our leadership, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid, he said, you know, we're going to create authority, how he did with the real estate company, where, like, you know, we need to see the value behind every project that's going to be backed up by crypto. And that's true. Why not? You know, let's see the value. You know, people right now are a lot of people. And this is one thing I covered in my panel discussion in Meta Week Dubai.
Yeah.
The only thing I said, and not the only thing, but the main thing I said is stop monetizing.
Yeah.
Stop promising stuff. That's, you know.
I want to come to that. I mean, okay, because you mentioned it. I mean, I find it fascinating because I believe in this concept of like 80% give or 90% give and 10% receive. So you are creating this, like, you know, the opportunities, because there's huge, you know, opportunities. I mean, the market is so big, but now is the time of giving. And, you know, you are probably one of the only ones who mentioned in that Meta Week that stop monetizing. And if you can just give us more details and, like, what's your philosophy behind don't monetize?
See, to be honest, it's what we understand, what value we bring, you know.
Yes.
My partners and I, you know, we created a project that was deeply researched prior to 2020 or 2021 or 2022 and to 2015. But it's all giving back to the community. I'll just cover something about Garden of Life.
Yes.
So we have Garden of Life as number one, as Seed of Life in Dubai, right?
Yes.
Towards alternative energies, okay? In Bali, that we already purchased the land for $8 million, towards a holistic, because all of the mass tourism that's happening, we want to bring back the culture. Mozambique, we are getting, hopefully, inshallah, let's say, the land, we already initiated the conversation with the Minister of Tourism there. We're getting under the wildlife, towards wildlife extinction. In Brazil, towards deforestation, and in Iceland, towards global warming. The Garden of Life is a hub that we create in main countries to solve the problem of what people are literally talking about right now. And I go back to my point one, I will not use sustainability in my wording, because who's doing what for it? You know, people care about what will they gain?
Yeah.
You know, what will they do? Of course, Garden of Life, who wants to come in it, you will gain profit. I agree.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, what good will you do? What percentage will you give back?
Yeah.
Even if it's 5%, we accept that. But, you know, it's more than just a platform. It's more than just a educational part that we're doing. It's a knowledge transfer. So we're creating bridges from one country to another for people in Mozambique to educate them.
Yeah.
And to bring them to work in Dubai, for people in Dubai to work in Mozambique or to work in Bali or to work in Iceland, towards finding solutions for all the challenges we are going through right now and for our future generations.
Yeah.
And that's important to highlight, you know.
Yeah.
So we need to understand everything we invest in, and I'm saying this publicly, you know, when you invest in a coin or a token or whatever it is, you need to understand the value of this project before investing. But don't invest and come back and say, oh, it was a scam.
Yeah.
You understand where I'm coming from? They need, you know, and a simple example will be these corporate giants. You know, a couple of years ago, they were very focused on CSR, corporate social responsibility.
Yeah.
And why was that? For their media purposes only.
Like a PR.
See, in gold, of course, it is a PR, you know, it's a PR takeover. And gold,
now, what even now, Marwa, like, you know, most of the, I mean, I think, you know, most of the, you know, the inclusion and, you know, many of the corporate things that they have, I mean, some of the companies will be following it, about women empowerment or inclusion, or like many many of the ideas that most of the, you know, they have on their profiles, which I personally think it's just PR, like, although a small percentage of it of them may be following it. Yeah,
I agree with you 100%. I agree, it's for PR reasons, and you know, it's very diverse when you think of it. It's people who do that agenda. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. We're in talks with Save the Children Foundation. You know, went to Climate Week. We're part of them, and the simple campaign that we're doing for Ramadan right now that's coming is giving 31 NFTs every single day of Ramadan, giving an NFT to individuals that, you know, want to be in the sector but are scared. So we're giving it to people from 14 years old to, you know, whatever that they allocate, giving them NFTs that are our NFTs that I'll get later on to, which are one of our products. It is creating that agenda, you know, creating that acceptance that you, as you know, a person in Libya, in Lebanon, and wherever it is, can be part of it.
Yeah.
So we're getting 31 NFTs from 1,111 NFTs that is available, giving 31 to Save the Children Foundation. It is not finalized right now, but we're in that discussion. And you know, people usually do in Ramadan, you know, giving meals, giving, you know, we're in the digital world. Let's give them NFTs. Let them have, you know, the choice of whether, you know, they want to.
You're creating a long-term opportunity. Yeah, I mean, it's about removing people from poverty rather than just feeding them for, I mean, which is important, feeding them for the day. But you want to make sure that, like, the generational poverty stops with these kids. Like, are these kids know about NFTs? Yeah.
And redirect them to the right way of the digital world.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing we don't believe in gold, and this goes out to investors, this goes out to people who purchase our tokens. Yes, you do want to make profit. But for example, they'll come up to us and say, okay, when will you be listed? We have internal, we're going to be listed in a tier one exchange soon, quarter four.
Okay.
But yeah, why would you come, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I, of course, I understand from the investor's perspective. Okay, when are you going to be listed?
Of course, investors will always be investors. Trust me, I have my own agenda with investors. But in the end of the day, it's, you know, it's the value of the product. You will make profit. Yes, yeah. You will do this. But I want you to believe in this product before even, you know, investing in it. And that's really important to me, and important to my team, and important to my partners. It's them believing in this product.
Yeah, you know, one of the things. Sorry. You know, what I find, Marwa, is, you know, when especially when Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or, you know, some of the big entrepreneurs, when they made it big, they always talk from the philosophical point of view. For example, invent and wander is something which Jeff Bezos would say, like, you know, you need your mind to be free to put the seeds and wait for long term. And which I find with gold, with Garden of Life, Dubai, is something like you're creating something like, you know, there's a problem to be solved, and you're thinking about these problems in Brazil and the other places. There's a problem to be solved. So let's focus on metaverse and the problems to be solved. And this, and the opportunities are there. Opportunities, like, I mean, from this, there's a long-term opportunity. And second thing, which I've taken away from what you've said, is definitely, I mean, I agree, like, what better charity to do then get these poor people to understand, first of all, low entry barrier, to understand, give them NFTs so that they understand what crypto is all about, blockchain is all about. Then they start thinking, and with that, you know, they start creating opportunities for themselves, and then the buck stops there. I mean, from there the poverty stops, and then you're actually creating wealth. So there's a lot of money out there, like you said, $800 billion out there. And I mean, one of your company's mission is to make it easy and accessible and provide a low entry barrier for these people to participate. And in turn, you know, over a short-term future or long-term, you know, you are also getting a piece of the huge, huge, you know, pie out there. So definitely, if you could just describe, you know, your products and services and some of it which you've mentioned already, but who can engage and invest? And like, if someone, like, I have to describe it to my friends, okay? I want them and me myself, I want to tell my wife to get into investing with gold. Like, how do we start? Like, what are your products and services?
I'll go back to why did we launch it in Dubai is number one. Yeah. Dubai, as my country, as the UAE, you know, we are hungry to be number one in everything, and us individuals, we're less locals. Emiratis are less than 1 million people. That goes back to number one, you know. We're less than 1 million people. So why do we launched, and you said something right now, prior to this, and it really caught my attention, which is the seed. You said something about the seeds, right?
Yes.
In Dubai, it will be called the seed of life.
Yeah.
Which is the whole garden of life. We have different the entities. In Dubai, it will be the seed of life. In Bali, it will be the flower of life. But in Dubai, it starts and it goes, you know, globally.
Yeah.
And I'll give you about my products and you know, how will people benefit in it in the end of the day. So we have our gold tokens.
I just want to say one thing, Marwa, before, because you mentioned Dubai. Yes. Now, you know, I went on a binge watch with Balaji Srinivasan, and he was a part of the early Bitcoin adopters and one of the ones who evangelized this whole Bitcoin, Balaji Srinivasan. You probably heard of Michael Saylor and Robert Breedlove. Mm-hmm. So he's in the same league. And you wouldn't believe that most of these people, when they talk, they keep mentioning Dubai, Dubai, Dubai. And I find it like fascinating. These people are, you know, they mention Wyoming, Dubai, and another place, but they are extremely bullish on Dubai, which I find fascinating, because what they have done is they have mapped out, you know, like you mentioned, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid having the backed, the hybrid model and the backed, and making sure that people don't, you know, with the experience from the property, what happened in 2009-10. Right. Okay. So the regulations are there. The country is very forward looking, and it's fascinating. These Americans like Robert Breedlove, Michael Saylor, and Balaji Srinivasan from these Stanford and MIT, these intellectual people who are on the board of some of the largest companies, like billion-dollar companies, they keep mentioning Dubai, 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 Dubai. This is amazing. I mean, like, I find this fascinating.
I'm proud to hear that. I'm really proud to hear that, honestly. Yeah. You know, as a person that is originally from here, you know, it's fascinating, you know. And this is my fuel. When I hear people saying this is my fuel to go on, for the rest of my life, I will carry that name and I will go on, you know, and I would push for further achievements.
Yeah.
And I'm proud when I hear that. I'm really proud of, you know, what Dubai, the leadership, everything that has been accomplished.
Yeah.
For those
who are interested in learning more about these people, I'm going to link it in the description, you know, wherever we host this podcast. I'm going to link whoever has mentioned in these top intellectual giants in the US, they mentioned Dubai. So I'm going to link it in the bio. Sorry, please go on, Marwa.
Please. So I'll go back to what products we have so everyone can come, you know, and join us and hold hands in that. So we have our gold tokens. Now, keep in mind, the number one in everything. So we have 111 billion tokens, right? Each token is 1 cent. That will be listed, inshallah, hopefully in a tier one exchange in quarter four this year, right? Currently sold 30 million tokens. Very proud of that. Very proud of my team. We have the gold NFTs, which is the first hybrid NFTs, where when you own one NFT, which is $111, you own in the physical dome, which is your NFT. When you walk in the Garden of Life later on, you know, with your kids, you can light up the NFT and it just, you know, that's your NFT. That's your solar panel. If you don't resell it, of course. And we have corporate pillars for corporations out there. Whoever wants to advertise, you know, it's $111,000 for 5 years and ongoing, physical and in the metaverse that we launch in a couple of months. You know, we chose the balance. If you really think about the prices, you know, what's 1 cent to purchase a token?
Yeah,
what's $111 to purchase an NFT, right?
Yeah. It's a low entry
barrier. You know what I mean?
Anyone, no one has an excuse not to participate and get involved.
Exactly. Yeah. Who wants to do a good value and who wants to also make profit? You know, why not? Let's go in there.
Yeah. You know, too many people are like, you know, skeptical. I mean, they're just toying around this word metaverse and tokens and all of that. You know, it's exactly how, you know, stocks were maybe 20 years, 25 years ago when people didn't know about IPOs and, you know, listing and all of that. You know, all you've got to do is spend maybe 15 minutes a day, go on YouTube and just learn about it. And, you know, that's it. But you made it extremely easy in terms of this low entry barrier. No one has an excuse not to participate with, you know, 1 cent token. Yeah.
Imagine 1 cent and you own that, you know, you have a wallet and then you can, you know, wait until you make profit. You know, whoever wants that thing and about the gold token. So you will never lose having a gold token because this is a currency we use in Garden of Life Dubai. You can purchase merchandise. You can attend workshops in the metaverse. You can, attend lectures, attend events in the metaverse using your gold tokens until it's going to be listed. So you will not lose in the end of the day. It's you know, we kept it very feasible and very flexible for the public to come and enjoy it. And in our metaverse, it's free to attend. You know, we're not putting like a cost. You need to pay this to attend Garden of Life Digital World. You know, come attend. Look, you like it, you like it. You enjoy it, you enjoy it.
Yeah.
You don't, but of course, you know, attending events, attending this one, use your gold tokens. Why not?
Yeah. This is amazing. And this is backed by, you know, the government is creating, I mean, as we speak, there are new regulations coming in to make it more stable for people to acquire this. And I just want to circle back. I mean, you mentioned your team, you know, I've few people that I've come across, I think Asma and Roba. And it's interesting, like when you mentioned mentorship with women, and I find your team, you know, like when you speak to, like, when I spoke to like one or two members of your team, they're so excited about, you know, what they do and looks like they seem to like really enjoy the job. And, you know, I wasn't sure, like, are you the CEO or, you know, is Marwa, like, then I realized Marwa is the CEO, like everyone is like really excited about their job. It looks like everybody sort of works as though they are the CEO. So, I mean, I must commend you for, you know, the kind of, you know, the team that you've built and the way you've, where you've empowered them. And I see them even on social media, not only me, I was just having this frank conversation, like, I mean, just casual conversation with somebody who doesn't know about your company. And I mean, in the course of conversation, you know, the name came and they said, yeah, I see them all over on the social media. I was like, okay, they're doing the right thing. So congratulations.
Yeah. See, thank you. But when it comes to my team, you know, I'm proud of every single person in the team. And at the end of the day, we don't use titles in my team. Yeah. You know, we're all one. We are all, you know, towards making this happen. And I think that's important even for, you know, what's a title at the end of the day? A title is just something, a designation, but you as an individual, if you have that belief and that passion, everyone around you will have that belief and passion. Forget all titles. You are one person, the same level as whoever it is in your company. There is no levels in our company. It is, you know, we work together, we make things happen. And this is, alhamdulillah, this is the main thing that we harnessed in each individual that comes to Garden of Life.
Yeah, this is amazing. I mean, the whole empathy part where, you know, empathy-led organizations, you know, which Adam Grant speaks about, and LinkedIn grew into this multi-billion dollar revenue company with Jeff, I forgot his last name. But it was, you know, so this whole concept of empathy-led organizations, which you are doing quite successfully from an outsider, what I see, yeah, is something which, you know, more companies could, you know, learn from your organization.
Trust me, we're willing to teach it. We don't mind, you know, be humble as possible, you know, and at the end of the day, we're all the same. We are all people with passion. We are all people that believes in one thing. So.
It's interesting, like, you know, when you're like, I see a lot of young people like you, and there are many young people who seem to have, you know, who seem to have figured these things out, you know, when you like early, And especially, you know, they are in touch with what's happening around the world in terms of the latest tech trends. And, you know, it's like a very eclectic, very diverse, and in, including the whole philosophy of, you know, leading organizations, like much older people, you know, that I see in my group. When I speak to them about like empathy-led organization and all of that, you know, they just don't understand what's going on. Like,
so it's the limits they put. You know, it's the limits they put. You know, you should not have any limits.
Yeah.
You even as a person and in hierarchy, you should have fun. You should make jokes. You should, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna tell you something. Hierarchy is a weapon.
Yeah.
Hierarchy is a weapon used. You know, and this is wrong because. I'll tell you something, every individual, every person in this world's idea and voice is an asset, whether to your company or to this world, or to what will become. So we always need to take that into consideration.
Yeah. We spoke about Dubai being the, you know, one of the best places, like internationally, I hear the name of Dubai. What, in your own words, why do you think more people should be, you know, coming here in terms of, why is this the best place for creators and investors and tech companies? Not only founders, but also investors and NFT and those creators and anyone to do with the digital art. And why is Dubai the best place? What's the message that you would like to give them? Why should you participate in your metaverse while being in Dubai?
Dubai is a place to create an ecosystem, first of all, which really gives you the comfort that your ideas will be solutions.
Yeah.
See, you can be whoever you are. And, you know, being here in Dubai, you should never forget your value and the value of your idea. Some people come here in Dubai, they forget the value. They forget the value of idea and be mixed up with everything they see.
Yeah.
And this is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, our
very true. Very true. Sorry.
That's it, you know, it's don't forget. My main thing is don't forget your value and what you believe in. And that's the main thing. See, our leadership has always been supporting the youth and creating the future and shaping new trends and directions with them.
Yeah.
So by investing in their and believing in their abilities and skills, which trust me is the leadership's highest priority right now. And this is important for people to know. You come to Dubai, you will be known. You come to Dubai. Even with the worst idea can be the best idea.
Yeah.
And you need to take that into consideration.
Yeah.
There is no word called, and this is something, something I'm against is failure. I do not, it's not in my dictionary. When you someone say, oh, I failed, no, it's a stepping stone for you to learn. And Dubai builds that in you, tells you there's no failure. There is a stepping stone that you will learn and we will support you to become whoever you want to be.
Yeah. I mean, for those listening to the podcast, I'd like to just, you know, like I've been here for 20 years and much of what you are saying, Marwa, I actually, you know, I've internalized this, I've actually believed it. You know, when we say the leadership has always been supporting the youth and creating the future and shaping new trends, you know, this is like I've been a part of one of the programs with Abu Dhabi a couple of years ago. And I actually literally saw how the leadership, both in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, it's not just platitude, it's just not a PR thing. I mean, they literally would come and they would speak to everyone individually and they would spend time and understand. And like, there's a genuine, sincere effort in empowering people, which I don't know many countries would do that. So when you say this, you know, I mean, I would like to like attest to it. Like I've been a part of a program where Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed's program in Abu Dhabi, where, you know, he literally came and he spoke to everybody. Like, I mean, and then there was a follow up where his team, they called me like two or three times to come to their office, which you have to only experience it to believe it. And what you said about support and being in the creating this ecosystem and all of this, you know, when everybody seems, when everybody, like you could come, like you mentioned rightly, that you could come with an idea, which you probably think is the worst idea. But when you actually come to Dubai, you would get that kind of level of support because from the top onwards, from the government, from the leaders onwards, they are very optimistic and forward thinking in this regard. So definitely, I mean, I would attest to it, and I'm just not saying it. I have personally experienced it. So when you personally experience something like this, I've internalized it. So you actually feel happy, literally feel happy, when everything around you is part of that ecosystem. Yeah, so I definitely agree with you. Yeah.
You see, Ashraf, I'll tell you something. Why did Garden of Life choose alternative energy for their topic in Dubai and Seed of Life to be focused on alternative energy? You know, break this two apart. Dubai and the UAE itself has only been here for 50 years.
Yeah.
But it's the energy of every individual that came into Dubai. It's the energy of acceptance of every culture, religion, you know. It's an alternative and it's focus of our leadership right now. You know, we want to diversify. So Dubai and the UAE has been built upon the energy of every individual stepping into the airport right now. Energy plays a vital role here in Dubai. And I think everyone right now in this country is an asset. And we need to take this into consideration. You know, it's an asset. They are assets of our country. Their ideas, their collaborations, their investment. It's an asset of making Dubai a place where people want to live in right now. When COVID happened, post-pandemic, you know, everything went wrong. But I knew a few friends of mine, you know, based in London, based in the US, that moved to Dubai. And we're like, Marwa, we moved our families to Dubai. Yeah. Why? It's the safest country to be in.
Yeah.
And, you know, hearing that really felt like, Marwa, you need to start ongoing. You need to start to pursuing. You know, this is our mandate.
Yeah.
This is our vision as Emiratis too.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who moved here during the pandemic because, the pandemic actually differentiated between countries who are progressive and who are really interested in their people and who really want to progress and would give the economic growth an opportunity, just not hand out checks. You know, there's just the economic stimulus checks, $200, you know, but actually, a lot of people have told me that they felt, you know, I wouldn't name the countries, but they were extremely, these are Western countries. There was hopelessness and despair and sorrow, which was only compounded by some of the decisions taken at the higher level. So they decided to move here because they didn't want to be among the hopeless and despair. So I just want to circle back. I like what you said that, you know, Dubai gives you, as long as you come with your strong values over here and you don't change, you don't deviate from, you know, because there are a lot of things which people, I mean, they would compromise their values. But as long as you stick on to your values and you're sincere in that regard, you know, Dubai could be an excellent, excellent place, which, of course, I mean, tactically, I mean, honesty and integrity and sincerity and your work should be consistent and, you know, don't deviate here and there. And this place can really give you, I mean, and of course, you need to give back once you receive.
So, it is the future. It is the future. Dubai and UAE is the future.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying this with all confidence.
Yeah.
The place I'm in is where I've been brought up, the place where I stand right now is the future.
Yeah. And just last among the last words, Marwa, any legacy you would like to leave? I mean, some incredible things that you're creating. What's the legacy? How would you want people to remember you in the future?
Of course. So yes, I will tell you, Ashraf. I always, you know, define legacy as Google. What is legacy? And it always comes out putting a stamp on the future and making a contribution to future generations.
Yeah.
My legacy right now is to guide people to a better future, you know, and for individuals who did not have a chance and give them the mic to speak up for themselves. If I had the strength to give them the mic, you know, who knows? And I go back to each individual, you know, in this world is an asset. And us as individuals, whoever we are an asset to this world. And we need to remember that and not forget that.
Yeah.
And this is the legacy I'm going to keep, a positive footprint. I'm an optimistic person. bypass the sarcastic introduction I told you, but I'm an optimistic person. I believe that every individual has a say, and every individual will be considered, will have that chance, you know. Just believe in yourself. And this is what I'm trying to build with my youth. For my platform right now, Garden of Life, we have a partner called 25100, which is a youth platform.
Yeah, I checked it out.
51 nationalities. 51 nationalities, you know. You've got 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds working with us right now. Trust me, the ideas they come up with is insane.
That's amazing.
You know, so...
That's amazing. I mean, I checked out the podcast. I mean, I heard this podcast on your site, on your podcast, and I looked up the website. So I found it some really, really fascinating things that is happening here, and the people that you have been associated with, and about the legacy. I agree with you. Like, you know, the future is unknown. I mean, they like 2 or 3 years we didn't know about. I mean, how things are going to be shaped with the pandemic and the opportunities now with the metaverse and NFT. So you saying that you want to guide people, which I like the words you've chosen. Like, you want to create a framework for a better future, because the future is unknown, but you want to create a framework to guide people to a better future. This is interesting. Like what you mentioned. Yeah. So
and give people a chance. I think that's important. Give people a platform to be themselves. And this is the whole Garden of Life, where you give people a platform to be themselves. You know, talk. We will help you. Push yourself out of your comfort zone and we will help you.
Yeah.
So that's the most important thing.
Okay, so you're creating a platform. You made a low entry barrier for people to get engaged, get involved. There's no excuse why, and you are based in Dubai, which is among the forerunners in this crypto and digital thing, and the government and the leaders are behind it, creating frameworks and regulation to keep people's investments safe. So definitely, I mean, what you're creating back on this is fascinating. So definitely, I mean, I would encourage more people to look up Garden of Life Dubai. I'm definitely going to do that. And also, not only your company, but I love your philosophy. The outlook towards life, and I mean, I would encourage more women to, you know, hang around with you. So
I welcome everyone. Whoever wants me, you know, you can share my contact details. Whoever wants me to mentor them, to you know, support them, I'm more than happy to.
Yeah, so there's something called the state of energy transfer. So if you are with certain people who are forward thinking and positive and generally have this kind of outlook of life, you know, this state of energy transfer. So I think, definitely they'll benefit being mentored by you or even looking up at or engaging with your team in some way, or maybe young people, maybe interning with your company or anyway. So I do definitely encourage people to get in touch with you and your team. So where can we find you?
Perfect.
Where can we find you?
You can follow us in www.golddxp.com, on Instagram gold_dxp, on Twitter, or you can find me as Marwal Mansouri on LinkedIn, and just reach out to me anytime.
Okay, I'm going to repeat that. It's gold, golddxp.com.
And no, it's goldxp. So it's not 2 D's, it's 1 D. goldxp.com.
Okay, goldxp.com, or at Instagram at gold_dxp. But you know, even if you don't look up one of these sites, you know, you will definitely come across, because you're very prominent on social media. I can see, even though I initially didn't subscribe, I mean, your post, your team's post, the people I spoke to, they saw your post, and I came across your post. That's how I came to know about your team. So if you don't look up, it'll find you. So
that's good to know. Yeah. And you know, you can always reach out to me in my first and last name, Marwal Mansouri, and on LinkedIn or you know wherever. And,
Marwa, it's M-A-M-A-R-W-A without H, Marwa Al-Mansouri
Almansouri, exactly. Okay. On LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Marwa, for coming on this
podcast. Thank you, Ashraf, for hosting me. And it's my pleasure. And my whole commitment is making this future better. And, you know, for the audience out there, for everyone out there, feel free to reach to me, my team, whoever. And we're here to support you all.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And most of the things we spoke about, you know, the links are going to be in the bio or in the description. So, so the links to Gold and also to the LinkedIn and the some of the things that we spoke about in the course of the conversation. So I'll put the links in the bio so it'll be easy for people to look up. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ashraf. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Take care.
Take care.